On communion, we pause in our study of whatever book we are studying, and we look at a thought regarding communion. So today I thought we'd go to a place we have never been before. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 6. They say, and Mark can correct me, it happens every 7 years. Every 7 years, all of the atoms of your body are completely different than what you had 7 years ago. Did you know that? So you are what you eat. They also say that if you do something enough, familiarity breeds what? So it worries me about doing communion all the time. Because for Christians, it can become ritual. It can become something that we are so familiar with that we lose the value of its significance. So in chapter 6 of John, Jesus tells us the real significance of communion. Have you ever thought about communion? We eat a little bit of grape juice if you're a Baptist-leaning church. If you're Plymouth Brethren, they use wine. But you are what you eat, and we take a little bit of grape juice, a tiny piece of bread the early church used to have an agape feast. They'd have a whole dinner. Why would the Lord pick a supper to symbolize His death and His resurrection? Because you are what you eat. And this is what Jesus is going to talk about. And this chapter is so misunderstood by so many groups. And He's going to use language that's going to anger the crowd. That's why I like Jesus preaching. When Jesus preached, there was no middle ground of reaction with Jesus. You either liked Him or you didn't. We're going to see that reaction today. Jesus wants to teach them the foundational nature of what it means to follow Him. And that's what we're doing in communion. We're testifying that we follow Jesus, and we are doing something that to us we get used to, but to God it has very great significance. We're going to eat something that will become a part of us. Did you know that? What you eat is what you are. Jesus just fed 15 to 20,000 people in chapter 6. They wanted to make Him king because He gave them a free sandwich. They didn't realize what He was trying to teach them, that I am the bread of life, the blessings of following the Messiah. They wanted that free lunch. And I love Jesus. He knew they wanted a free lunch. And you know what we learn in the other Gospels right after feeding the 5,000? You know what Jesus did? He fed them again. That's what I like about Jesus. He was no fundamentalist. Fundamentalists say, well, they need church discipline. Jesus had a heart. They were poor people. They were starving. They worked all day. And He knew they wanted another sandwich. He gave it to them. But He uses this as an opportunity to teach them what it means to follow Him. And this is what communion is teaching us this morning. What does it truly mean to follow Him? Well, you're doing it, you just don't realize it. We've gotten so used to communion, but when we partake of those elements, we are doing an object lesson of what it means to follow Jesus, because those elements are becoming part of us. And this is what Jesus said, what it meant to follow Him. Paul will say, for me to live is... That's it. Jesus will say, for those of you who follow Him, take up your... And what? That means that not even your own life is greater than following Christ. He will use a variety of pictures. And in this chapter, he's going to use a picture of the need to fully take and become Jesus Christ. Just like when we eat these elements, it's going to become a part of you. This is the picture that Jesus is going to draw. So in verse 26, Jesus says, don't labor for the food that perishes. That food will become a part of them, won't it? Jesus says, don't labor for the food that perishes that will become a part of you, but follow me. They said to him in verse 28, what should we do that we do the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe. That's why churches that preach works better be careful. What's the work of God? Faith. In verse 30, they'll say to Jesus, after He fed them, give us a sign, Lord, that we should follow You. I scratch my head going, He just fed 20,000. They want another sign. Give us another sandwich, Lord. Well, that food that you incorporate is not what's going to help you. Jesus is told in verse 31, Jesus, our fathers ate manna. Give us a free sandwich. Jesus said, it's not the food. It's me that you live for. Yes. Yes. Jesus said to them, listen up, I say to you, don't eat Moses' bread, but eat the bread of my Father out of heaven. Lord, they say in verse 34, give us this bread. And Jesus said this, I am the bread. What's Jesus saying? What's the most important thing? That you eat the right things, and that what you eat is to become my disciple fully like me. You incorporate me into your life. That's what we're witnessing to here. When you take those elements, as those elements become a part of you, Jesus is saying then, you need to be just like me and to incorporate all that I am into your life. Verse 41, therefore when He preached this, they said, Jesus, You're a great preacher. We love it. What'd they do? The Jews what? Grumble. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Eat me. He was using this as a symbolism, just like food becomes a part of you. Jesus said, take everything that you know about me and become just like me. Too many Christians are like themselves and not like Jesus. Jesus wants us to be... Do you know what the word Christian meant, by the way? We all use the word Christian and we think, wow, that's a nice term. You know how the Romans used the word Christian? It was a term of derision. It meant you little Christ. See, the early church knew the significance of communion, that when we take these elements become a part of us. Jesus was using this as a symbolism. You be fully like me. But if we make a ritual and don't realize the reality, it becomes meaningless to us. Jesus said, don't grumble in verse 43. The crowd grumbles even more. By verse 53, Jesus decides to nudge them. You know, if a crowd's grumbling, fear the mob, because these were fundamentalists. You know what fundamentalists love to do? Stone people. It's a shame. You know what Jesus came to do? Seeking to save those who were lost. That's why I don't like the... Here we go. I can just hear some of you saying, there he goes about the fundamentalists again. Well, I'll tell you something. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith at this church, but we're not going to be the culture. It's unloving, unkind, and they want to go around stoning everybody. Jesus never went around stoning. He went around saving. By the way, you now know from Hebrews that stoning is so old covenant, isn't it? So Jesus decides to nudge them after they've grumbled. And that's what I do. I want to be a preacher just like Jesus. They start grumbling, I nudge them all the more. So Jesus, when they began to argue in verse 52, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to him in verse 48, I'm the bread. Eat me. I am the living bread. He will live forever. For the life of the world is my flesh. And they started, this man's a cannibal. Well, he got their attention. He got their attention. That's why preachers, you know, three points in a poem. I tell the guys at the seminary, you shouldn't be the purpose, the program, the people, and the, you know, they'll never remember that. Nudge them. Jesus did. Jesus said this in verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink His blood, you have no life in yourself. How's that for a wow, get the crowd's attention? And they all dropped their jaw and said, what in the wide world? What was Jesus saying? That He wanted them to become cannibals? No. He was saying this, that if you're going to follow Me, take up your cross, follow Me. If you're going to follow Me, you're not even your life is worth anything. You incorporate all of Me into your life. It's a very picturesque metaphor that is very grabbing. That's what we do with communion. Every time we pick up the elements, we're not just doing a ritual. Communion cannot save you. That's where theology goes awry, because there are churches that teach that somehow if you take the cup and the bread, that somehow does some type of sacramental magic. No, it does not. It merely reminds the Christian, become fully like Jesus. Your goal, matter of fact, all of history moves toward this one goal, that we are all going to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're not going to be conformed to the image of, name your favorite theologian and preacher. I have none. Because the goal of the universe is that we will fully become like Christ, just like you become fully like the food you eat. Jesus said, you become fully like Me. You're not to become like your father. We all inherit genetic characteristics, whether we like it or not. But God's people need to become fully like Jesus, is what this teaches this morning. He who eats My flesh, drinks My blood, has eternal life. You fully become what He is. For My flesh is true food and My blood is true drink. Boy, can you just see them picking up stones right now. That's what I like about Jesus preaching. He faced a crowd and boy, He was fearless. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats Me will also live because of Me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He said these things in thee what? Ooh, Can you just see? That's where all the religious people were attending on a Friday or a Saturday morning. That's where all, not the irreligious people. I like irreligious people. You know why? They know they're sinners. But I'll tell you something, you get around some church-going synagogue people, and oh, they've forgotten that God saved them by His grace. They forgot the muck and the mire that they lived in, and they become self-righteous. And this is very brave of Jesus, because they invited Him up in front of the crowd. And this crowd doesn't like what they're hearing. You ever heard? You ever been in a place where all of a sudden the speaker will say something and then you hear this grumbling in the crowd? And it gets worse and worse because he nudges more and more. As he taught in Capernaum, and look what happens in verse 60. Many of his disciples, when they heard, they said, this is difficult preaching. Who can listen to this kind of stuff? You know how a preacher should measure whether he's preaching God's word? Whether it's upsetting the crowd. How do you like that? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said, does this cause you to stumble? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Why was Jesus teaching this way? Because he had to tell them and jog their synagogue going used to the same old way. And he was telling those Jews this, without me, you can do nothing. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the only thing that matters in life, not even the food physically that you eat. And you need to become just like me. What's the application? When we take communion, we're testifying that we're in the process of becoming like Jesus down to the very atoms in our spiritual soul. For this is what this means. You are what you eat. If Jesus is the thing that is most in your life, then you should be like Jesus. You should exhibit a character and a substance that is just like the Savior. How's the church doing as a whole? Do you think the church as an entity, just the church, how do you think the church is doing in exhibiting the character and nature of Jesus? Utter failure. Oh, we'll fight over whether this means to take communion saves you, which it doesn't. What Jesus said was this: as we take communion this morning, He wants us to be fully and completely as He is. And that's the only thing that matters. And that's what we're witnessing to this morning. For me to live is Christ, and everything else has to go by the wayside. We become fully like Him and live for Him.